The Truck and Driver podcast is sponsored by Fortune Tires, who manufacture high-quality, durable tires designed for operators who are looking for exceptional value across every application. Fortune Tires is proud to partner with International Tires, the exclusive distributor of their truck tires in the UK. For more info, visit internationaltires.com/fortune or call 0121 552 6888. Drive forward with Fortune Tires.
Hello and welcome to the Truck and Driver podcast. It's Matt Ireland here once again, and I'm joined today by my good friend Paul O'Callaghan down in Australia. Evening, Paul. How are you doing?
Good evening, as it is for me here, Matt.
Yeah.
It's morning time for you. There's a fair time difference, 5:15 five in the evening here where I am in Katherine in the Northern Territory.
Yep. Yeah, it's, well, yeah, 7:45 time here on the Sunday morning. I've just, I didn't get home till 1 o'clock. I went and saw the Far Show live in London yesterday and then the Ocean Film Festival in Norwich. I had a full-on day of culture. So I got home at 1 o'clock this morning and the good old trucker's body clock initially woke me up at 5. So I'm not demanding.
Good stuff. Far Show was a bit of a blast in the past.
Oh, mate, it was just fantastic. It was like a 30th anniversary, I think it was. So if you're the younger generation and you like silly sketch shows and you've never seen the Far Show, it's my favourite sketch show of all time. I absolutely love it, and I think it's aged quite well, most of it. But yeah, it was brilliant with them talking about, you know, how some of the characters were created and how they all met and this and that. It was just, yeah, a wonderful afternoon. It really was. So yeah, couldn't get much further removed from trucks, I suppose.
No, it's so good to have that. There seems to be a resurgence in kind of all that, you know, things from the past coming back. I've listened to just about every Alan Partridge audiobook I can find, and I've just finished listening to his actual biography, where he's not doing it in Partridge's character. So I learned a few things about him I didn't know, but he'd be up high on my list. Yeah,
when it first
came out, I didn't really understand it. I don't think a lot of people did really, and it was only in later years then I saw what it was about. So
yeah, definitely. And funny enough, Steve Coogan with Caroline Ahern and John Thompson had a sketch show pilot for Granada TV, because that came up because Steve Coogan used to work quite closely with the guys on the Far Show. So yeah, they all know each other. Yeah, brilliant. But anyway, we digress somewhat. So whereabouts are you, Katherine, did you say?
So I'm a place called Katherine, yeah, in the Northern Territory, northern part of Australia. So the company have got a depot here.
Yeah.
So it'd be Katherine is like at a junction of the Stuart Highway, you know, which runs up from Port Augusta in South Australia, right up to Darwin, kind of up through the middle of Australia, and then you've got the Victoria Highway, you know, which if you were coming across from Western Australia, Cunanara across, so they meet here. So it's a small town, but it's a major route for trucks. So you get a lot of road trains passing through here. Got a yard here, so it's Sunday here, and just got back today, and got a service on the truck, and was supposed to be heading out somewhere today, and as ever, that's changed, which I wasn't too disappointed about. So we've just had a look underneath the truck, and I saw we've got a leaking wheel seal, so that'll be done tomorrow, and there's actually a few other little jobs to be done as well. So I've got me out, you know, these what we call our ice pack is like a generic term for our secondary air conditioning system. I actually wasn't sure whether or not it was going to, this podcast was going to work, because it's just like you've got a little single cylinder diesel engine rattling away there behind a cab. But there's actually been a cyclone has hit Darwin.
Right,
I think they call it tropical cyclone Fina or something like that, and apparently it was the strongest one since Cyclone Tracy in 1974, which basically flattened Darwin. It was this latest one was Category 3 and Category 4 in places. Now, I don't think there's been any deaths around, but it would have been a fair bit of damage, trees uprooted and things like that. But it's a little bit cloudy down here, and so maybe that's just kind of some of the remnants of that. So basically, it's not as scorchingly hot as it normally would be. It's only about 23 or 4 degrees here, so I was able to turn off that little
noise box.
Engine. Yeah, little noise box. But you know what? It's such an essential thing out here. It's just,
I can imagine
every for nighttime. Yeah, you wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't have a hope without it. And like even you know the likes of the rooftop pods out here wouldn't be up to the job either.
No, definitely so not.
That's they're brilliant, and you just get used to the noise.
Yeah, I suppose it's just like having a fridge behind you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And now you said it. Well, those new fridges, Matt, they're so quiet now. And I actually like sleeping with the noise of a fridge on. Just leave it on constant there, or have that on. But that's Catherine. You know, I think the Northern Territory. It's such a sparsely populated place. Like I think the total population here is like 260,000 or something, and well over half of that is up in Darwin. You know,
yeah.
And when you look at the landmass of the place. So I think it's the same size as Mongolia. You know, it's huge. Yeah, it's huge. But it used to be part of South Australia, and then it was sort of made a territory. So it's not actually a full state. It has a few less powers than that. But it's probably one of my favorite parts of Australia. Anyway, there's something very very laid back about coming up to the territory. You know.
Yeah. Does it get really humid?
Yeah, it does. So you know, the wet season, which runs from kind of about November to April. So we're into that now, and getting a little bit of rain. Nothing major. So it'll get really really humid, and then it'll rain and kind of cool things down a little bit.
Yeah,
but I don't mind the rain at all. Generally, the cattle season will draw to a close once it starts raining. It's it's very difficult to access all these places. You know, there's very few would have bitumen access or tarmac access, as you'd call it. But yeah. Anyway, we're still busy. You've just been on a job lately, probably the last month on a job from Western Australia, kind of down to the Barkly Tablelands, about a 1,600-kilometer run. So quite a nice run. You know, you're going across there's obviously a different time zone in Western Australia to the Northern Territory. The clock goes forward an hour and a half once you go over the border. So to get used to that, but it basically pretty deserted roads.
Yeah.
And it's quite an enjoyable place to drive. You know, never any trouble parking anywhere. And yeah, so that's kind of what's going on here at this end.
Brilliant. So what truck are you in at the moment? You're still in the Kenworth, aren't you?
Still in the Kenworth, yes. Actually, interesting enough, it was of Kenworth in Australia. They started in Bayswater in Victoria, and they're the top selling, you know, heavy duty truck in Australia in the heavier end of the market. So there's quite a lot of loyalty to Kenworth out here, and I think they had initially in kind of like the 60s, they brought some out from. They brought some in from America and slightly and adapted them, but you know they're a lot different, the Kenworths you have out here, than the ones you'd have in America. I suppose the biggest thing here is the heat, you know. So you've got, you know, far bigger radiators. That's one of the things about the one I'm in. It's got a big radiator, and it sits up quite high as well.
Yeah.
Just so you can get more cooling in there, and especially for off road conditions as well. But I really really enjoy driving it. I remember when I came out here. First, I got a Kenworth, and I definitely wasn't a fan. You know, when you've gone from when you get out of a European truck, and that's kind of what you know. When you get into one of these, it feels like you're stepping back in time. And I suppose that time, you know, when you start off at the bottom of the ladder, I probably had a one that was old and noisy and not very comfortable. But they're probably still not very comfortable, but definitely quieter. And I think as well since. Some of the European ones now, the technology has kind of nearly gone too far. Whereas this kind of reminds me of just sort of like the old days, you know, everything is old. And or when I say old, I don't mean that I mean traditional. And you know, you've got all your dials and good driving position, loads of leg room, and been spending a lot of time in it, practically living in it now.
Yeah.
You know, all season, you've just been in it. So you'd want to be pretty happy with it. So it's 600 horsepower Cummins 15 litre engine. I mean, 600 horsepower for the weight we're doing, it doesn't sound like a whole lot, but actually there's very few hills here. Once you can get them rolling, they'll hold that speed, you know. But like I said, trying to keep them cool is a big thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, just, it's got, you know, I've got steel suspension all around, multi-leaf on the front and slipper front end. They're for the work we're doing. They're pretty hard to match. You know, we've got some Macs in the fleet as well, and the Macs do okay. You know, it reminds me sometimes of the whole Kenworth thing. It's a little bit like Scania, and you know you get guys that's all they've got that kind of loyalty towards them. You know, and I can kind of see why in a little way. I've just spent so much time in them.
Yeah,
I really enjoy it. But I think you know what they're probably going to go for in time is, I just see it already. You know, kind of go for a wider cab. You know, I've got the one that's the cab is quite narrow in front, and you've got that low roof, which I actually quite like. And then you step into the sleeper, but it's got a non-integrated sleeper, so it looks like it's got a big sleeper, but actually when you get into it, you look and you go, all right, there's very little room in here. Actually, you've got a king single bed and really very little room to stand up in.
Yeah.
So that's probably the only thing I'd say goes against it. But no, I'm definitely a big fan. Anyway, Matt.
Yeah, excellent. Well, funny enough, there's a chap called John Sinclair who is an Aussie truck driver who listens to the podcast, and he contacted me. Me and Dougie had a chat at the end of a podcast recently saying about, like, if you could have one of the older trucks, but with the some of the modern technology. I can't remember if you remember that, and what you'd have. And he drives an SAR Legend Kenworth. Yeah. So it's obviously being over here, I had no idea. So basically, it's based on a 1980s Kenworth, so a full retro model. Even the windows are air-operated. Kenworth released them, but you could only place an order on one day to limit the numbers sold. They sold 750 trucks on that one day. And in comparison, Western Star sold 350 in that entire year. Even the dashboard is old school, no modern stuff whatsoever. It's got cruise and air control, and that's it, yeah. 18-speed manual Road Ranger gearbox. And, yeah, 600 Cummins. Yeah, so instead of an integrated bunk, look, the modern cab is a separate bunk with a walk-through design. Yeah, so that's quite interesting, really, when you sent me that. Yeah. And I wondered whether you'd be able to relate, because obviously being out in Australia, you've probably come across them. And there's that loyalty. Yeah, 750 trucks a day. That's mad, isn't it?
That's there you go, just all sold out. Yeah, tell you, like, the loyalty there is towards Kenworth here. And I think that I'm right in saying that might be the third one they've done like that, as in done a kind of a recreation of an old. So it was a 950, I did a T900 Legend. So they were older models, similar enough. Actually, not sure if you remember, I did an update in a magazine lately, and there was a picture of, it was a red and cream. It was from Bendigo, I think it's Victoria. Anyway,
yeah,
a guy up in Catherine here, he had a Legend SAR. I don't know if you remember, on the back of the cab, there was a little funny slogan that I took a picture of and put it up, and it said, 80 style, don't be late and don't tip it over. You know, but yeah, I think the SARs goes back to when they would have originally brought the first Kenworths in that came into Australia. They probably were a bit too long for, you know, down South Australia and places over east where they were, you know, limited in length. And so those SARs, they had a shorter kind of a sloping bonnet. Now I looked up, I've seen two meanings for SAR. I've seen short Australian right-hand drive, and I've seen South Australia right-hand drive. So someone now might be able to come up with it. But I often wondered what it
stands for. Right.
I think they might have a. So you know, a lot of the older Kenworths had a flat windscreen. So you, like, even these Kenworth 509s had a flat windscreen until 2014, and then they went for a slightly more curved design. Personally, I like the more curved design. It sort of feels like it's like you can't kind of see into them as easy, and it keeps out a bit more sun. But yeah, there's such a huge following for Kenworth out here, and I think there's at least one truck show just dedicated to Kenworths, and in New Zealand they have the same thing as well. I've just never really been able to make it to any of those, but it's quite cool actually when you meet, so you know, you meet those old, or let's say those old, you meet those SARs on road, you can tell them from a long way off, and it's kind of cool to see that sort of passion still there.
Yeah. So what sort of weights are you running at, like, when you're empty, when you're loaded with the livestock then? Just for the listener, Paul sent me a couple of videos just before we start recording of a couple of the river crossings, that he's done recently. And it just sort of got me thinking, because you were just starting to lose traction out of one of them, but you were empty. And I was just sort of wondering how much you were sort of weighing roughly.
So it's pretty easy to remember. So for us, we're 60 tons empty.
Yeah.
120 tons loaded.
Oh, that's dead easy. 60 yeah. ton empty. It's difficult to get your head round from a European perspective, I think, unless you're involved in like heavy haulage of a vehicle being empty in 60 tons. It's just completely different, isn't it? Well, you know.
Yeah, and you know, that's kind of another aspect of it as well. Just how goes back to what I was saying earlier. How different what we're driving here is compared to what they have in America. You know, they'd be a lot lighter. So, you know, your axles need to be a lot stronger as well. And your truck needs to be, you can't just buy a truck off the shelf and go out and do that sort of weight. You know, it has to be plated for that sort of weight, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, for the work they do, you know, even when you're empty and you could be into a headwind, like the engines are working really, really hard all the time. So, service has come around pretty quick. Like I was just looking there. I think the last service I had was only 3 weeks ago. You know, so we work on kind of 250-hour services, but you know they're working so hard. It's pretty admirable, really.
Yeah,
what they can do, you know. But another thing as well. I don't know if you saw in that video there, just with the river crossings, like it having everything. Like set up a lot higher, you know, or the bonnets are high and, you know, the diesel tanks are high. And I actually had a colleague who drove, he just came around the corner lately on the highway and just in a sort of a part of the road up in Western Australia where when it rains quickly, the creeks can come up and, you know, you could kind of get caught. He hit water that had come up to 1 meter and it was too late to do anything. So, you know, he did a little bit of damage, but I was just thinking when we came out to him that night, like if you had been in something that was a lot lower and had side skirts and all sorts of plastic fairings, there would have been a lot more damage, don't
you? Yeah, too right. And they'll flash floods.
Yeah. And I said, you know, I think he'd only been doing about 80 kilometres an hour. I said, well, it's lucky it wasn't me because it just came up and went down pretty quick, you know, like an hour later it had gone down, and next we came through the next morning, you could see all the debris on the road. So I was just pretty lucky that I didn't hit. But just another thing you've got to think about really over here.
Yeah, just another day in the life of an Australian truck driver.
Yeah. In fairness, you know, you're never dealing with traffic or anything like that, so you've never got any stress really. It's I suppose the heat is the only thing. Some days it can get quite hot, and we don't have. A lot of these trucks will have what's called bunk air. You know, there'll be air conditioning, which is kind of plumbed through to the bunk. So, they don't. We don't have that with these. So,
yeah, fair enough. So you're saying the cattle season's obviously going to be winding down because of the weather. So I take it that just means your work is going to change rather than go quiet. You'll go on a different work.
Yeah, every season out here is different, and the one we've just had has probably been one of the busiest that I can remember. You know, there's just so many different factors, like, you know, there's weather, you know, markets, what the markets are doing, what sort of prices they're playing, and you know, if they get a lot of rainfall in places like Queensland, you know, they'll have a lot of grass over there, and then you're moving cattle over there, and then, you know, you might have a drought. So it's been really, really busy this year, and from I think I started kind of like mid-April up to now, I've done a fair few kilometres. So I'd say, I don't know what the target, it'll probably go up until Christmas, Matt, and then I get a few months off after that. So it'll be nice coming back to Ireland in January anyway.
Yeah, that's the plan again, is it?
Yeah, I'll go back for a while and probably come out, and while I'm still enjoying it, have a crack at another season. And anyway, that's the plan. Maybe
that's the
do
plan.
Something in between. I might, maybe up to Norway again.
Yeah.
Same as, I did that in 2023, and did it in just January going by. So probably go up and have another busman's holiday up there. Love it up there. It's a great contrast to
what we're doing out here.
Yeah. Love Norway as well.
Yeah.
Quite cool. So, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't believe it's been nearly a year since you went there. It's just, this year has just flown past. It really has.
Yeah, it has, yeah. I was going to say, I think maybe it's a a sign of our age, is it? Whatever the time is,
could be.
Time
could
is flying by. But yeah, that probably the next time might go a little bit further north. Last time we did kind of all around the south of Norway, maybe go a bit further north this time. But the only problem is the further north you go, of course, the less daylight you get.
Yes. Yeah.
Just at that time of year. But might have a look up there and see what else. But the Gaydon seems like only yesterday. That was September since we were there. Another good year at that.
Oh, absolutely brilliant. Yeah. And I know we a lot of us bang on about it an awful lot on the podcast, but it is just such a great weekend, and it just, and again, that just flew past. I mean, we actually in our ever the optimist way, we were hoping to actually record a podcast there, but you know, that was just never going to happen. Yeah, it's just that we didn't have an hour to sit down between us and have a chat, which is a real shame. But there's just so many people to catch up with there, and the quality, and like I've said before, it just amazes me how many people, especially a lot from Ireland, that will come over, because it's a lot of money to get yourselves over for a show where you're not even going to win a trophy. It's
there was quite a lot of Irish trucks there this year. I didn't count how many there was, but you saw how many. You know, there was a lot of nice stuff there. Actually, I was just talking to one of the guys that was there, and he's just been out to Hungary, and he's bought something kind of quite rare, fairly desirable. He's bought an 1861 Black Edition Actros.
Oh,
not too many of them around.
No.
Only 250 of those made, actually, I think, and 150 were sold on the German market only.
Yeah.
So he said he was looking for one for a while, and seems quite excited. Yeah, he hasn't got it back yet.
But yeah,
I bet you probably couldn't list out too many of those that you know of.
I don't think I can list one, to be fair.
No.
Off the top of my head. No, not that I can think of. Yeah, crikey. So I wonder how easy it's going to be to export a truck from Hungary to, is it going to Southern Ireland, I take it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's going to Ireland, yeah. So it'll be pretty easy once you have the registration document. Although, speaking from experience, I know when he goes into the registration office, they won't know what it is. It definitely won't be on their system anyway. But sometimes they can make a mess of the registration. Like, I know a guy that had a version 2 Volvo, the FH16, that should have been on a 2007 plate, and it's registered as a 2017. It's just a clerical error, and you know, that's what it is now. But it should be pretty easy. I think his plan is that they're going to deliver it to Zeebruges, and you can get it on that CLDN ferry from Zeebruges back to Ireland pretty easy. He just doesn't have the time to go out and drive it back. So that'll be a new one. But I think we had a nice lineup of Mercedes there. We had a mate there with a Series 1 1844, and I had the Eurocab, and then we had that MP2 1858. You know, just something a bit different.
Yeah, absolutely. It just makes a pleasant change to Volvo and Scania, doesn't it, really?
Mm.
So
For sure.
Yeah. And it's nice to see my friend Terry Ainger come down from Scotland in his Turbo Star that he's recently completed as well. So it was nice to catch up with him.
Oh, yeah. Was that white one?
Yeah, the white one,
Oh, yeah, with the Italian kind of a theme.
That's
on it.
Yeah,
I hadn't seen that before. Yeah. Oh, he came from Scotland. I didn't realise he'd come from Scotland and that.
Yeah, he lives near Lockerbie somewhere.
Ah, right.
From memory, yeah. So I think he'd done everything himself on it in his shed.
Put on him, yeah. Because I didn't see that there on a Saturday. I think I didn't even notice that on Sunday morning. Am I right in saying that? Or
I think so, yeah. I can't remember if he turned up Saturday night or not. So, it's just nice to see something different, isn't it? Like you say, just makes
exactly,
it a pleasant change. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. That's
so, so are you planning on going again next year, or is it?
Yeah, I probably will. It's a big effort, but I think it's worth it. Like, I can just at the moment, just with driving out here, you know, I can only get to one, and that's the one I'll be
that's the one
going for. So yeah, all going well.
Yeah,
give it another crack next year, Matt. Anyway, yeah. So
yeah, why not? So is there a lot of truck shows in Australia then, generally speaking, or?
Yeah, there are. But unfortunately for me, they're all generally over in the kind of on the east side of Australia. And I looked into going to one before. There's one on the New South Wales Queensland border called the Casino Truck Show. The town is actually called Casino. It looks like a great show. And I looked into going to it. I can't remember. Anyway, it was on during, you know, what we call it. It was, you know, summertime,
busy,
I suppose.
Busy season. And it, yeah.
Yeah. Busy season. And you know what? It was such an effort, like, to get from Broome. I was going to have to fly to Perth and then go from Perth across. So, like, it was going to be a whole day. You know, but basically, you know, 24 right. hours nearly. And then, yeah, and then you've got, yeah, I think you're either Brisbane or Sydney and then get a car and go up. And yeah, it's just, anyway, now there is one I was kind of hoping to get to maybe next year. There's one called the Mac Muster, and that's the main one in Western Australia.
Okay.
So that's just down, that's down outside Perth. Even though it's Mac as in the Mac trucks, it's open to trucks of all makes. But that's on, I think that's on like the 23rd of March. I had a look the other day, so... You know, that might just kind of fit in with coming back and starting the season. I was talking to mate from New Zealand there, Craig McCauley. He's on about going to it. So, yeah, I definitely like to go to one. The only one I've ever been to is, and that was just by chance, was 10 years ago in Alice Springs. You know, they've got the Transport Museum there in Alice Springs. And yeah. I was just passing through by chance. And I think it's on every year. They have like a Hall of Fame thing where guys get inducted, you know, drivers and people related to transport and that, they get inducted to the Hall of Fame, which is quite cool actually. And then there's a truck show. I think every 4 years there's a big reunion and a big truck show, and I just happened to be going past and I absolutely loved it. Like, it was just, and it's amazing how far like guys will travel. I think there's even trucks that come from Tasmania and, you know, just travel thousands and thousands of kilometres up from parts of Queensland. You know, you get to see those old Mac Bicentennials and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's another good one as well. And then I think there's a Kenworth Classic as well. There's a good few, but
yeah.
just with the job, it's a little bit awkward, you know.
Yeah, definitely. So have you ever thought about trying to perhaps work for someone who could send you over to Tasmania?
No, I actually went there. How long ago? I went there. Yeah, I did actually. I actually flew into Melbourne and hired a motorbike there. Could be about maybe 8 years ago or something like that.
Yeah.
And I hired a Ducati, I think it was a 696 Monster.
Yeah.
And got the ferry down across from Melbourne. And I think it was an overnight cross and it was 9 hours. And it actually was an ex-super fast ferry.
Oh, right.
Cool. Yeah. You could see the red and white. Yeah, Brandon inside. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name of it. But anyway, I did it because what I'd heard about it was it's just brilliant roads over there for motorbiking, loads of bends, no traffic, very little law, and that's exactly what it was. So I think I spent a week just there ripping around. I had an absolutely brilliant time on that.
Oh, fantastic.
On that Ducati and managed to keep it up on two wheels, so that was a bonus as well.
That's the main thing, isn't it?
Shipped back into Melbourne, and I think I had a half day to spare and just went down to Phillip Island just to see the track there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where they have the MotoGP down there. Yeah, yeah. Had a look at that. But, you know, it's just going back to your original question, it's just so vast here.
Yes.
You know, to get around, especially if you're in sort of remote areas. Like I was talking to a guy in Catherine, they had to go to a funeral somewhere else in, you know, Queensland. So, you know, you've got to drive with, you know, first of all, 300 kilometres, that's Darwin, which is probably not too far by Australian standards. You know, drive up there and get on an airplane and away you go.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the vastness is just unreal. You just, you know, the fact that the whole of Europe and then some will fit into Australia, just, you can't really picture it. And again, just going back to John, the other Aussie trucker, was talking about a bit of distances with him, and he said, like, the longest driveway, just a driveway to a farm, he's done was 20 kilometres. And he just like, what? Yeah. He just, yeah. As someone living in England, I cannot get my head around a 20-kilometre driveway.
Well, yeah. Well, now, when they say driveway, it'll be pretty much just a track. Like,
yeah.
But just to give you an example, that those videos I sent you where we went there, that was 100 kilometres of a driveway into where we were going, and it actually went further again, then it went on to another place. So that 100 kilometres, that would have taken us about 3.5 hours, maybe 4 hours, just depending on the track. So you've got to get out and open gates as well, because you could be passing through the, obviously different paddocks, and you could be passing the boundary gate then from another station. So
yeah,
closing gates is that's not really a fun part of you. Cattle grids are definitely well appreciated whenever you see them, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just a completely different ball game out here. The distance, I think, is a just from a driving point of view, that took me a little bit of time to get used to, but it's just kind of second nature now, you know, and especially with podcasts, it makes it an awful lot easier. I've been listening to a lot of there's a pretty big Aussie one there, trucking one called Copy Southbound. So yeah, I've been listening to those lately, and it's just talking to no more than what you're doing yourself, you know, interviewing guys from that have had careers in trucking. It's a neat subject, but it's quite interesting if you're into it, and passes the time away pretty quick anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't generally listen to that much music anymore because it's just podcasts or audiobooks for me, to be honest, because there's just so much out there.
That's right. Yeah, I alternate. There's days when it's music only, and then there's days when it's podcast only, and sometimes it takes you a bit of time to settle on the right one. But, you know, it's what a lot of people are getting out here, Starlink, which is, you know, Elon Musk's satellite system.
Fair enough. That must be handy as well if someone does have an emergency, being able to get
what we've got is, you know, prior to that, I've got a satellite phone in this truck here, so that's just like an emergency thing, or, you know, but I'd say I've only used that a handful of times this year. That's maybe the boss would want to contact you just to give you an update on a job, and you might be out of coverage, but I'd say, you know, the satellite phone will become a thing of the past once the Starlink comes, cause, you know, once you have Starlink, well, then you've got internet as well. But certainly I quite like the look of the satellite phone on the dash there. It's a little bit of a retro look as well.
Yeah. You know. suits the truck a treat, doesn't it?
Well, the big thing out here is UHF radios, you know. So that's and a lot of trucks, well, maybe not a lot, but definitely some trucks will have two UHF radios. So, for example, the guys who were on, you know, doing heavy haulage or wide loads, they'll have an escort vehicle in front of them, you know, and they're warning everybody, you know, that on channel 40 they've got a wide load coming, and then they might have another one where they can talk to each other or talk to the pilot on it. But, you know, we're on, it's an 80 channel UHF with good range, and that's, you know, you have that on all the time. You'll meet wide loads or just hear what's going on, you know. There could be accidents or cattle on the road or livestock, things like that at night time. But it's quite handy.
We're just so well connected. We over here, we just take it for granted, don't we? We just get a bit frustrated when your signal drops out for about a minute, not thinking it could be like yourself out in the middle of nowhere with no signal perhaps for days.
yeah, that's it. So, you know, probably the longest it'd be you'd be out maybe 24 hours or even if you're on a station doing paddock carting. Generally, if you get back to the homestead, they'll have Wi-Fi. So, you know, you're on there and always make sure you're topped up with podcasts and catch up on your messages and things like that. So, definitely it's a lot easier. It's easier in a lot of regards now, you know, from a personal point of view, having all that at your fingertips.
Yeah. It's ideal, isn't it, really?
It changes very fast. You never, in the middle of the podcast when I had to put you on pause there, that was the phone ringing just with the latest job. So it's, you know, what is it now? It's six o'clock in the evening. It's kind of unlikely I'd be sent anywhere now, but I'll be heading away first thing again in the morning and heading back to Western Australia. So that's it. It's a very kind of a nomadic, transient way of life, but I love it.
Yeah, excellent. So not going to do that wheel seal just yet then?
Actually, you just reminded me about that. Yeah, Well, after that,
that can wait.
Get that done and have to. Oh well, I had a look. It's leaking pretty bad. But no, yeah, we'll get that done and after that then go. Yeah, but probably there'll probably be a few little jobs that'll be pulling the long finger.
Fair enough. Well, I better let you. Have a cold beer and get your head down in, I suppose.
Yeah, no worries. Well, as it is now, I've just took off my shirt as a kind of mid conversation. It's getting quite hot in the bunk now without that little ice pack going.
Yeah.
So I'll have a beer and have an early night and up again. So good to catch up. We were trying to do it for a long time, but as you can tell, just with how busy it is and then the time zones and things like that, it's hard to do it. But anyway, no, good to chat to you.
Yeah, and you, Paul, and perhaps if we don't get time, we'll perhaps catch up on Christmas Day again like we did last year.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, still not sure where I'm going to be this Christmas Day, but sounds like a plan.
We'll worry about that nearer the time.
Yep.
Anyway, well, safe trucking, Paul. And
thanks very much.
Great speech, mate. And
good to talk to you.
Yeah. We'll hopefully catch up soon.
Catch up again. Yeah, cheers, all the best. Mate. Thank you.
Love you. Ta-da.
See you, mate. Bye now. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Truck and Driver podcast, sponsored by Fortune Tires. Fortune Tires and International Tires, bringing you innovation and reliability to support your operation. Learn more at internationaltires.com/fortune or call 0121 552 6888. Drive forward with Fortune Tires.